May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It's just interesting to me that Jesus actually tells two little stories to challenge these Jews in hometown who were full of unbelief because of reason. But the first one he tells them is about this woman in Zarephath. He quotes this story about how God sent Elijah to this woman to bless him and for her to receive blessing when there were many widows in Israel. And yet, here was a woman living in Sidon, which was the hometown of Jezebel, Elijah's, in the end, dreaded enemy, fierce enemy. They were Baal worshipers. He sends Elijah to a woman who is really, really poor. And he tells this story and uses her as an example. And so when I saw that verse again in Luke 4, the question that came to me is why? I mean, I know that there's a prophetic point that Jesus uses that God will go outside of Israel where he finds he will send even to Gentiles, like the next story was about Naaman, the Gentile captain of the king of Syria. But I thought, but personally, why this woman? Why did he pick her? Was it just some sovereign act? There had to be something. It's like Mary was not just a sovereign choice. There was something about Mary that God saw that prepared her, that postured her, that positioned her to be the one that would carry the Messiah. Now, could she have refused? For sure. And God would have gone to the next person. Not plan B in God's eyes. God doesn't do plan B. So it just becomes plan B kind of if we miss what God has for us. But so Elijah announces to Ahab, it's not going to rain. It doesn't rain. And he goes by this brook Cherith. He's fed by ravens until, of course, because there's no rain, the brook dries up. And then the Lord speaks to him and says, this is 1 Kings 17. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. And so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please get me a little water in a jar that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. But she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in a bowl, and a little oil in the jar, and behold, I am gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, do not be afraid. Go do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first and bring it out to me. And afterward, you make one for yourself and for your son. And thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken to Elijah. Now, what in that story would say to you, this is the reason God picked her? Well, for one, even though she lived in this hometown where Jezebel was born, it was famous for Baal worship. When Elijah spoke to her, she said to him, but as the Lord your God lives, I have no bread. She acknowledged that God lives, but she also acknowledges the Lord your God lives. Now, later at the end of the story, you know, later her son dies. And when Elijah raises him from the dead, she says in verse 24, now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord was in your mouth is truth. I mean, she's in this place of progression, growth. But she was someone who acknowledged God as Lord, God as real and living, and yet she was still not like perfect. She wasn't fully mature. But again, I think, Lord, what is it about this woman? You know, when her son dies, she goes to Elijah. She says, "Have you come here to make my iniquity known that my son would die?" So here's a woman who has a past. Here's a woman who's extremely poor. But she did acknowledge that God was real and he lived, even though she maybe hadn't fully personally encountered everything or didn't know anything yet. But the funny thing, when the Lord called Elijah to go to her, he says, "I've commanded a woman in Zarephath to provide for you." But it appears that when Elijah shows up and tells her to give him some water, that was the easy thing to do. But when he said to provide food, she didn't know that God had commanded her to do anything. And when Elijah said, "Just trust the word of the Lord, and God will do a miracle on your behalf." So, again, why did God choose her, and when did God command her to provide for Elijah? I think there may be other answers too, but this is one that in the process of investigation that I see clearly. If there's something that's in your heart, if like there's this longing in you to believe God for something, or to go after something in the Lord, or to seek him at some level, if there's something in you that wants to make a choice towards him, either in faith or obedience, in pursuit or whatever, that is in you because the Lord's commanded it to be in you. You might think it's your idea, but I'm just telling you, the previousness of God is one of the great graces of the Lord. The fact that she was able, wanted to, and was willing to believe, even though in the natural it appeared that she was simply going to die after this last meal, that was proof that God had commanded something into her heart. He must have seen something in her that God believed had the potential for obedience and faith. Poor she was, with the past that she had. I mean, the first thing she thinks of when her son dies is guilt and shame. But it seems like her impoverished condition, her past and guilt and shame didn't disqualify her. There was something about her that the Lord saw that had positioned her for the potential to obey and believe. And that desire was manifested in the moment. And she didn't know, never says in Scripture that she understood, God had commanded that in her. He had done that in her. Now, she stepped into a miracle in her obedience and faith, didn't she? But here's what I want you to understand. Here's the cool thing. If you desire to believe God in some arena, if God's given you some word, or you're longing for something from him, if you are longing to be obedient in an area that you've been disobedient in, if there's a longing to do some pursuit that carries some extravagance to it, like a fast or giving up some time or something, the miracle's already begun. You're already in the realm of the miraculous. God commanded that in you. It's not that you're going to step into a miracle. You've already been brought into a miracle, and all you're going to do now is participate in the miracle that's already begun. so they can be fully realized in your life. I don't know about you, but that is an extraordinary encouragement to me. Like, okay, if I'll do my part, you'll do his part. No, he's already done his part so that you can do your part, so you can do more of his part. You're not going to step into grace. You're already standing in the grace you're about to step into. It's already started. Be encouraged that if there's that longing in you, the desire to believe, the desire to obey, the desire to be set free in an area. You know those questions that you have, the longing to know more, to get this right? It's because the miracles already happened in you. God's commanded the blessing in you. And in that, you can celebrate that you're not trying to squeeze something out of God. Oh, if I could just get into a flow of grace here, the miraculous would be released. The flow of grace has already begun. It's proof to you divine activity is already occurring. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It's proof that the supernatural is already working in you. It's not that, oh, if I finally do this, I'll get into the supernatural. The supernatural is already flowing because you want to do it. That builds faith, doesn't it? I'm not hoping for the supernatural. If I get it right, there's a supernatural. Supernatural is already released. Just fall into it. Just let go. Just tip over. It's already at work. God's already commanded it in you. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.